Our next case, please.
If it please the court, good afternoon. My name is Charles Montang. I'm counsel for the plaintiff appellants, in this case, City of Jersey City, the Embankment Preservation Coalition, and Rails to Trails Conservancy. This case has had a lengthy history. The first time it was before this circuit was on an appeal from a determination by the Surface Transportation Board that the Harsimus Branch was a line of railroad subject to the STB's abandonment jurisdiction. On appeal, this court reversed the agency, not on substantive grounds, but on the ground that the special court, the United States District Court of the District of Columbia, sitting as special court under the 3R Act, must first determine that the Harsimus Branch was subject to STB jurisdiction. The plaintiff appellants that I represent, City of Jersey City, the Embankment Coalition, and RTC, then proceeded to the USDC for DC for such a ruling. The USDC for DC, rather than reaching the merits of the case, ruled that none of my clients, neither the Jersey City, Rails to Trails, nor the Coalition, had standing to seek a determination that STB jurisdiction applied. There are three points that I'd like to make in my limited time before you this morning. The first is that the district court, as did Conrail in its brief, failed to apply the appropriate standard of review in addressing the threshold issue of standing. That standard is that the court must assume that the plaintiffs are correct on the merits. In other words, that this is a line of railroad subject to STB jurisdiction that cannot be sold or acquired until the Surface Transportation Board authorizes abandonment. It follows this mistake that the court
is that true though? Didn't Conrail sell a lot of this line during the 80s and 90s when redevelopment was occurring? And the STB didn't get involved in that. Those transactions went through. And people own the land today.
Conrail sold property that was part of a rail yard and the rail yard itself might not be subject to STB jurisdiction.
But it might.
No one challenged it.
The transaction went ahead and title passed and people own it today?
Correct. However,
so why can't the city do the same thing?
It is the law that there's no such thing as a de facto abandonment. If there is a line of railroad involved, the only way to remove the federal transportation jurisdiction that rests on that line of railroad, if it is a line, ordinarily, whether it's a line or a rail yard, would be determined by the STB.
Right.
Okay. And this was, incidentally, this isn't just...
So if you went ahead and condemned it and got the property yourself, you would have title to it, right?
Correct.
And subject to perhaps, if somebody wanted to invoke STB jurisdiction, there might be some cloud over it. But don't you have to have someone out there who's going to... likely to do that, to try and unsettle it? We have lots of cases in different contexts that say We're getting to the imminence element of standing here. I mean,
the lawfulness of an abandonment does not depend upon who challenges it, because there's much
more. But somebody has to challenge
it. The lawfulness of an abandonment, want to complete the thought.
Okay, excuse me.
The idea that when you abandon a rail line such that you're going to sell it for non-rail use, there's a structure that both federal and state law apply. That structure is supposed to protect the interests of numerous parties in different aspects of the line and prevent adverse impacts on the national transportation system, right, on environmental, all kinds of things. And whether there's someone around who will challenge it depends upon how people evaluate those impacts and on federal standing law. Our position here is that we have challenged it. We do feel we have injury, in fact, and that we ourselves on this line, at least this segment,
what I'm getting at is, there are two procedures that are available to you. You've been denied one. I'm going to call it the OFA approval procedure, okay, mm-hmm, before the STB. And you now claim that has injured you, right? Because,
yes,
you don't have access. But as I understand the reasoning of the district court, they're saying, well, you're not really injured, because what you're interested in is owning this property. You can go ahead and own it
through
the condemnation.
Two points, okay, Your Honor. First, there's no question the city is interested. You have to divide my clients up into two parts now.
Right, now I'm talking about the city.
Yeah,
right,
just
sorry,
the city. So if I use the word we, I'm not speaking
to
the city, okay? The city does, in fact, have an interest in keeping the corridor intact, as does RTC and the coalition.
Yep.
And we believe that's a substantive right that we get by having this under STB jurisdiction, because the railroad has an obligation to keep this line intact until it receives lawful abandonment authority, in which case it goes through the structure provided by federal law, which gives a preferential right to purchase to outfits like the city or people who wish to keep the corridor intact, whether for rail or non-rail purposes.
Your argument is that you'd get a better price, assuming you actually wanted to buy it. You'd get a better price as a function of the STB proceedings as opposed to a cold turkey.
That would certainly be part of our argument, Your Honor. The structure of federal and state law is designed to allow a government or a entity that's interested in preserving the line to get this at the lowest constitutional value.
Your argument was that without STP jurisdiction and a determination either that it doesn't have jurisdiction or authorized abandonment, that you can't buy it.
Well, in fact, that is our argument. I was trying to respond to questions from the court. But in fact, our key argument, Your Honor, is exactly that. The case law of this circuit is very clear that the city cannot be denied standing for refusing or declining or saying it was not interested in taking an unlawful action. Under the surface transfer, under the ICC termination like the revised Commerce Act before it, there has to be a lawful abandonment granted by the surface transfer. We must assume that this is a line of railroad subject to STB abandonment authority. That's the merit case.
Right.
And once you make that assumption, we have no eminent domain remedy. Moreover, if we were to exercise the eminent domain remedy right now, who would we eminent domain? We'd eminent domain the LLCs. If this went through the abandonment process, as Judge Gallipoli said in the decision we attached to our reply brief, if we went through the abandonment process, under the law of the state of New Jersey, the deed to the LLCs from Conrail would be void. We literally would be exercising eminent domain against the wrong party. That is clearly a substantive injury, and it would be a gross embarrassment to the city of Jersey City, because it would be handing over a very large sum of money to a group that, if this is a line of railroad, doesn't legitimately own the property under Jersey law.
I mean, I'm not sure if this makes any difference, but as a practical matter, you could pursue eminent domain against both railroad and LLC, right?
As a practical
way. And let the court sort it out as to who gets the money.
If we proceeded with eminent domain against both parties right now, it would be before a New Jersey court, and the New Jersey court would invoke the 125.1, the Jersey statute in New Jersey, to try to sort this out already. That case has been stayed pending a resolution of the issue in federal courts because the state court judge feels that it's a federal issue that you guys need to determine first because it's whether STB has jurisdiction. If they have jurisdiction, he's already said in this latest decision that the LLCs are cooked, so to speak. So we're in a kind of catch-22. We can't get flipped back. It doesn't seem to me that it behooves the court to flip us back between different forums.
Now, I make one odd after our decision, our recent decision about it.
Your Honor, I would make another point, and that is that if we did use eminent domain against the wrong party here or against whoever, we still would not be able to get, ordinarily a city uses eminent domain to get clear title to property. And there are other reasons, but you expect to get clear title. You try to bring in everyone that's at issue, so what title you get is solid. And we cannot, with state law, eminent domain, clear the cloud of STB jurisdiction. STB has twice, substantively, said this is a line of railroad. The deed of this property to Conrail and Conrail's deeds to the LLCs all describe the property as a line of railroad. We're clearly on notice that quite a few people think this is a line of railroad. And if we acquire the property, then we clearly have standing and the obligation, if we have standing, to operate it as a line of railroad if it is a line of railroad. I can't clear the common carrier obligation off this line unless we have standing. That's the bottom line.
I believe I understand that position, but I do have another avenue, which is raised in the briefs, and that's the question of, suppose you don't want to buy it in the end, but you want to impose environmental restrictions beyond those that you could do under New Jersey law. Your argument basically is that the STB's process would allow you to ask the STB to impose those restrictions, and those would benefit you, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And the briefs are very vague as to just what these restrictions would amount to.
Okay. All right. First of all, I need to say that I wanted to reserve some minutes for rebuttal.
You can keep answering questions.
This is free time.
We'll give you an extra minute or two if it's all concerned.
As long as I... Okay.
Well, no, not as long as. You can answer Judge Williams' question.
All right. Surely. The question, as I understand it, is what kinds of environmental remedies would we obtain from the Surface Transportation Board? I would say that some are your classic procedural remedies, but some are substantive in nature. We did not simply invoke Section 106. We did not simply invoke the National Historic Act, Section 106. We didn't simply invoke NEPA. We mentioned in our briefs and in our submissions. Well, first of all, I should note this, Your Honor. There's this issue of whether we intend to whether we actually intend to invoke our remedies, and we clearly have. I mean, this. Conrail filed a proceeding at the Surface Transportation Board for abandonment authority. You know, it tried. You can't assume they're going to act unlawfully. If the STB, if this is a line of railroad as declared by STB, then they're either going to have to keep it intact by reclaiming it from the LLCs, or else they have to seek abandonment authority. Those are their two lawful options. They elected, subject to D.C. Circuit's actions, to file an abandonment proceeding at the STB. So at the very time this case was before the court the first time, we were in front of the STB getting our remedies or invoking them. They hadn't completed the proceeding yet. Among the things we sought, we actually then did file and start the OFA process, as did another railroad, CNJ. But we actually indicated to STB that we were seeking to invoke a substantive remedy under the National Historic Preservation Act, 110K, which is an anticipatory demolition statute. And that would authorize the STB to deny the licensing action or condition it so as to redress the environmental or harms to that had occurred to any historic resource on the line. Moreover,
Can you make that a little more concrete?
Well, what we believe we could ask STB to do under a statute like that would be to penalize Conrail by requiring it to offer us the property at the same price that it had offered it up to the LLCs, for example, that we could get a comparable kind of remedy to what we could get under the OFA statute, because that would help hold the line intact. Moreover, STB has issued a policy statement, which we have cited in our reply brief, to the effect that that in situations involving inactive railroad corridor like this, they frequently do not find out that the railroad has taken de facto abandonment actions, and they said that nonetheless those de facto abandonment actions are unlawful, and they warned the railroad industry that if they found out about them, they would, under their general authority or under the statutes they administered, take actions to remedy the adverse consequences that flowed from those actions. What's the adverse action here? What was the sale of the whole right-of-way for non-rail purposes?
Are the STB decisions remedying that sort of thing in the way?
Your Honor, what I can say is that there's a case out of the Third Circuit. It's Friends of Ackland Susquehanna Trail that indicates, at least indicted by the court, that in situations in which a railroad has disassembled a railroad corridor in violation of the STB's responsibilities for review under the National Historic Preservation Act, the remedies can include reassembly of the corridor. So my point, though, is that in some ways, those kind of federal remedies that we feel we would get are duplicative of remedies that we will get under state law, under that 125.1, in the event that we can't get them at the STB. In other words, if we're not, for some reason, unable to acquire it at the STB, at the very least, we will get a ruling in New Jersey to the effect that the LLCs are now out of the picture, we'll get our right, whatever right, our right of first refusal, our right for first look, however you want to call that right under 125.1, we will get that under state law at the very least. And we believe, and Judge Gallipoli in his decision.
Now, this is if you lose.
If we're unsuccessful, if there's any uncertainty, we believe we're going to prevail at the STB, prevail in one or more of these remedies. If we are not successful, my point is that we will still be successful at state law in obtaining a result that substantially addresses our remedies, our injuries.
I'm really startled because you seem to be undermining your position.
I'm sorry, I don't intend
to be saying
that. I was backing it up.
Anyway it works out, we'll come out fine.
Well, but they're tied. I can get at the STB, I can get at my state remedies only by having STB have jurisdiction. That's where there's a tie. STB is preemptive. We first need to, while this is a line of railroad subject to their abandonment jurisdiction, their remedies apply. And we will seek those remedies. And we have already initiated that process. It just hasn't culminated yet. If Conrail says we'll not be successful at the STB for one reason or another, our response to that is, okay, assume arguendo, we are not successful. We think we will be, but assume arguendo, we won't, Judge Williams. Nonetheless,
don't you first have to be successful in the district court here?
Yes, but we have to. This is on summary judgment, Judge Tatel. And if the standard of review on summary judgment of a standing motion is you must assume.
I understand that, but you have to get through the district court here.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, correct. Right. We have to get through the district court to get to STB,
right,
to get the STB remedies, and to get the state remedies.
Can I mm-hmm. attempt to restate your
sure, situation. Sure. I'm sorry.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You say, we'll be able to accomplish our will either way.
Mm-hmm.
But that turns on somebody resolving the question of what is the route by which this is to happen. Is it to be by a ruling of the STB treating it as a railroad, or a ruling of the STB treating it as not a railroad, but merely a yard or whatever the exact term is? And once we have that cleared up, we can go ahead.
I'm not.
You seem to be stressing, in a way that it startles me, the substantive equivalence of your remedies under either route.
The remedies are joined at the hip in this sense. We can access those remedies only if STB has jurisdiction, and that's the question that's before the court right now. In order to get my STB remedies, STB must have jurisdiction. So we have to have the U.S. District Court reach the merits and decide.
Let me try, because you confused me also. I take it your argument is that, number one, we must assume that you win on the merits, mm-hmm. which means that the STB has jurisdiction, mm-hmm. and it's that which is blocking you from proceeding.
Correct?
Correct. Okay, thanks. Anything else? Okay, thank you.
All right. I did reserve some time for rebuttal.
Right.
May it please the court. My name is Robert Jenkins. I am counsel for Consolidated Rail Corporation. With me at counsel's table is Adam Sloan, my co-counsel, and Fritz Kahn, who is counsel for the LLC interveners. I'm going to start by the question that Judge Griffith started with and Judge Tatel ended with, which is this question of whether or not, if you assume that...
It's not if. Right. We must assume,
you must assume
that they prevail on the merits.
That they prevail on the merits.
Their argument that STB has jurisdiction.
Right.
Correct?
We must assume that. We agree with that.
Okay. Now go on from
and
there.
And what we don't agree with, though, is that this means that the city is injured if it can't proceed.
How is that?
It's because it isn't the city's job to enforce the Interstate Commerce Act.
Well, you want the city to just go ahead and condemn the property anyway?
Yes.
Well, the city
there
has
is nobody
a,
going to
the
going
city
to
has a legal
it.
The city has a legal opinion that it can't do it.
The city's
view is that, I mean, it's behaving as best it can in a lawful manner, and it can't. I mean, I don't think it can be that someone loses their standing because they can behave in a way that they believe is unlawful.
Yes, they can.
Really?
Your Honor, absolutely. Uh-huh. I'll refer to you a case that's not cited in our brief, but...
that would be helpful, because I didn't find one in your brief.
Well, okay. A nice distillation of the cases in Legislature of the Virgin Islands versus De Jong. That's at 645 F sub 2nd, 452. And there the governor of the Virgin Islands was worried that he would violate his oath of office if he allowed the Supreme Court of the Virgin Islands to be located in St. Croix. And the court there said, and other courts, circuit courts in this country have said, and as I said, it's summarized by the case, that he had to suffer a personal injury. He had to be worried that he was going to be kicked out of office and be personally injured.
Well, the injury here is that they, A, want to buy or control the property.
Yes.
And B, without violating the law, they can't do it.
They can
what
do
more
it.
Do they need to do?
They can do it. Because if they condemn the property, who is going to oppose it? The STB is not here.
What
the STB didn't
make?
Intervene.
Well, what difference is their point is that if they're right on the merits, that is, that the STB has to act, then the only way they can condemn the property is to condemn it unlawfully. Correct? We have to assume they're right on the merits. So the only way they condemn it is to do so unlawfully.
Your Honor, if that's if your view that would prevent them from condemning
it, I didn't
is correct,
say prevent it. Of
yes.
course they can do it. They can
yes.
do it unlawfully.
They can do it unlawfully. But it's not
just,
unlawful unless someone determines
but you're,
that it's
no,
unlawful.
No, that's not right. Because we have to, you're failing, even though you agreed that you have to assume
yes.
they're right on the merits, you're now backing off of that. Because if they are right on the merits, then they cannot condemn the property lawfully.
Your
correct?
Honor, the Bed Bath and Beyond.
Is that correct? What I just said, is that correct?
If I agree that it's...
No. If we assume, as we must, that STB has jurisdiction,
right.
If we assume that that's correct, which we have to, then the only way that they can that the Jersey City can condemn the property is by doing so unlawfully.
It is by doing so. Yes, it is by
okay.
doing so unlawfully.
Right.
However, the fact of the matter is mm-hmm. that the law is clear. Let's take the Bed Bath and Beyond across
the
street.
Your Virgin Islands case, as
yes.
you described it, it sounded as if there was a disjunction between the individual plaintiff and the interests that he purported to represent. In other words, as you summarized it, which is all I know about
yes.
the case, it sounded as if the court says, well, look, you don't have a personal interest in this. This is a matter of whatever it is, the city, the
yes.
government of the Virgin Islands. And apparently it wasn't before them. So its stepping into an illegality was not did not create the same problem for the mayor.
It doesn't create the same problem here either. If they condemn it, who is going to? There has to be an injury.
You're skipping their key argument of element. You may be. Let's assume you're totally right.
Right.
That no one's going to challenge it.
Yes.
Through the lens that we look at this case, namely assuming they're right on the merits, they first have to act unlawfully to get to that point. That's their problem.
But somebody has to invoke, yes, someone
that's the
has
next
to,
stage.
Someone has to
that's
invoke.
The next stage.
Yes, someone has to invoke STB jurisdiction.
Well, that's what they're trying to do here. Their whole argument is that they can't proceed unless the STB acts, and they can't get to the STB unless the special court first clears the way for that. And subject to all of that, they cannot lawfully acquire or limit the property. That's their argument.
That's their argument,
and I don't, yeah.
Your Honor, but it doesn't give them injury. How are they injured? What is the imminent injury to them if they condemn this property?
You don't accept the argument that by acting unlawful. Well, obviously, if you don't accept the argument that by acting unlawful, by being forced to act unlawfully, they're being injured, then okay, we can then debate the question of, you know, whether or not
I'll give you another case.
Sure.
Your Honor, until their reply brief, they didn't raise this argument that they felt morally bound not to violate the law. So I'll give you another case, San Diego Gun Rights Commission versus
Reno. I'm not sure
Reno.
That's a moral question, by the way.
Well,
I mean,
let's
this
see.
Is a municipality. I don't know that we need to get to the issue of morality to decide whether or not a municipality can or cannot violate the law.
You do have to get to imminent harm. How are they injured
well,
if
now,
they violate the law?
You and I are going in circles. You were going to give me another case.
Right. I was going to give you 98F3rd 1121. It's Ninth Circuit.
Yeah, you have a lot of district court cases.
Now, this is Ninth Circuit.
Oh,
1996.
Sorry, you're right. Sorry.
It was a pre-enforcement challenge to
yeah.
the Federal Gun Control
uh-huh.
Act. And the court said the mere existence of a statute is not enough to create a case or controversy within the meaning of Article 3. There has to be an imminent threat of prosecution.
Case, I haven't read the case, but, was there evidence that they intended to carry a weapon in violation of the law? I mean,
there was
I don't
evidence
know.
They
I haven't
intended
read the case.
To carry weapons.
Yeah.
You could assume it was in violation of the law, but if they weren't going to be prosecuted, the court said they didn't have standing. Until there was a prosecution, the court said, they don't have standing. And in this particular situation,
I suppose the way they could raise this issue is that they could go ahead and condemn it, face state impeachment proceedings, and defend on the grounds that STB had, right? Is that the way they
would do
it?
State impeachment proceedings by whom?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe the legislature would impeach them for violating the law.
For violating
I'm trying
the
to find a way.
Act.
I'm trying to fit this into your Ninth Circuit case.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It is highly implausible. Uh-huh. But let's assume that someone did come out of the woodwork, did object to the city's condemnation of the embankment property, and managed to prevent condemnation in the state court on the ground that it was a line of railroad. Then the city might have standing to bring an action in the special court. But until someone opposes their condemnation successfully, they're not injured. There's no imminent injury here.
Let me ask you a question. Do you actually deny that the Enabling Act for the STB, with its various cross references, creates certain environmental entitlements for neighbors of a bit of railroad about to be abandoned?
I don't deny that, Judge Williams, but
so why isn't the unavailability of those remedies in the event that there's no STB jurisdiction an injury?
The appellants before the district court asserted that there were two things they were interested in. They were interested, the city was interested in acquiring the property, and the Rails to Trails Conservancy and the coalition were interested in not having the property demolished.
Yeah, but there also are
and there
affidavits or declarations talking about chemicals and so forth in the soil and a right to claim, at least before the STB, an order from the STB forcing the railroad to remove those.
If the property was demolished, that's the only way that those chemicals would be released. That's the concern, is that demolition of the properties and salvage of any materials would be environmentally harmful. The argument that Mr. Montang just made about anticipatory demolition is not one that he made before the district court. Needless to say, we disagree strongly with his reading of the statute. Anticipatory demolition has to be intentional. Our taking the track off of this line long before anyone said that it was a line of railroad was certainly not intentional. But leaving that aside, their argument to the district court was, we want to acquire this. It wasn't that we want to keep it intact forever.
It may be, but the environmental plaintiffs certainly seem to be arguing that demolition, as you put it, of the embankment is a thing they're concerned about, and that the STB would give them environmental protection from the consequences.
And the district court confronted that directly and said that in light of the fact that this property is currently subject to an historic landmark requirement.
This is the state law.
This is local law now. The state law, there were two different laws. There was the local law prohibits the development of this property as long as it has the historic landmark designation, which it's had since 2003. Since 2005, the LLCs have been fighting that designation to no avail. And the district court said that on the record before him, there is no evidence of any imminent danger that the embankment property is going to be demolished. Accordingly, their environmental concern is at best premature. When and if there's a possibility that it might be demolished, then their environmental concerns can come into play. The other thing I want to talk about is Judge Gallipoli's decision. He cited that a couple of times to the proposition. I think he said that Judge Gallipoli's decision means that the LLCs are toast, are cooked, if they wind up back before a state court under the New Jersey statute. Judge Gallipoli's decision did nothing but parrot the theory of the case that Mr. Montang, or that the appellants and Mr. Montang as their lawyer, have, and he ruled that they had the same theory of the case, and in light of that, they could continue to be represented jointly by Mr. Montang, that there wasn't a conflict among them. He made no finding that the new New Jersey statute, the one that was passed in 2010, applied retroactively. He didn't make any such argument before the district court, and none of the declarants of the city and the district court made any argument that the new statute applied retroactively. All they asked for was the 90-day window to acquire or condemn the property, and the district court said you had 5 years to acquire or condemn this property. So your inability to acquire or condemn it now, if there were an inability, would be a self-inflicted injury. It can't fairly be traced to Conrail's way subsequent sale of the property to the LLCs. In fact, as we've just been discussing, their current injury is self-inflicted. They can condemn it right now.
At the end of the according to your argument, at the end of those condemnation proceedings, though, they get a piece of property that has a cloud on the title, right? Your point is there's no one out there that would challenge
exactly.
it, but it is a cloud on the title, right?
Well, it's not a cloud on the title if someone doesn't claim there's a problem.
There's a potential.
And that's the very definition of a speculative risk under Lujan.
Well, but if there's a cloud, there's a cloud. And their injury is getting property. We want property that has no cloud.
If they had come in and demonstrated that there was someone out there who was going to come in and assert that they didn't have lawful title to this, then they might have been able to prevail with that. But they did not do it.
What happens with ordinary quiet title actions? And people get into court all the time, don't they, to quiet title without showing that there's some specific person who's going to attack it, but on the grounds that they need to have something marketable.
There was nothing, again, in the record that demonstrated there's nothing from a title insurance company, there's nothing from any kind of entity suggesting that there would be a cloud on the title if they acquired this.
But whether there's someone out there or not, there's two separate questions. One is there someone who might or might not claim it? But there is a question, whether there is or not, as to whether there's a cloud, right? That is, if they condemn the property,
right,
and there's a question about whether they have the lawful authority to, there is a cloud on the title. Now, it may or may not be that someone will challenge their title, but the cloud still exists, you don't need a challenger to create the cloud. You create the cloud by the way that a property was condemned.
One, I don't accept.
You don't?
That, Your Honor. But in addition, I would add that if that were correct, then the Bed Bath & Beyond and the hotels and the condos and the office buildings and the other high-end retail east of the embankment all has a cloud on its title because it all sits on the old right-of-way. Mr. Montang said that was a yard, but he was the one who argued at the Surface Transportation Board that the rail line ran right through
maybe
the yard
do,
to the Hudson
maybe they
River.
Maybe do, maybe they don't. We just don't know.
Maybe we don't.
We know here that based on the allegations in the complaint, which we have to accept as true, there will be a cloud.
But they're self-inflicted. They're the ones that are making the argument there's a cloud.
Yeah,
if they don't,
you and I have gone in circles.
Yes.
They're only self-inflicted because they prefer not to behave unlawfully. Right.
Your Honor, all I can do is come back to
fact that your time is up.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Montaigne. We used up all your time, so you can take 2 minutes.
In rebuttal for 2 minutes, I want to make several very very swift points. Then,
right.
First, as to this point that whether we can somehow be denied standing because we could take action that's unlawful, I'd refer the court to Shays v. FEC, 414 Fed 3rd 76 at 89, 2005. To paraphrase that case, in a constitutional system bound by rule of law, it would be ironic, to say the least, if Article 3 barred the courthouse to plaintiffs who, because of unlawful action, may protect their interest only by violating the statute as well. And I think that pretty much puts to rest the law of this circuit anyway on whether we're not harmed because we could violate the law ourselves. The law is very clear. There has to be an STB abandonment authorization. If this is a line, and we must assume it's a line. Now, as to the point that we didn't raise this in our opening brief, we very much did. At least we found very quickly here on page 29, we said that the city would have to proceed unlawfully with a condemnation action until this line has been authorized for abandonment. Mr. Jenkins also said that we did not raise the 110K point in the U.S. District Court. I have only our reply brief handy, but I'll note on page 17 of our reply brief in the U.S. District Court, we very much had it there. Now, as to whether there's anything in the record about wanting to about the situation with the New Jersey statute 125.1. Jack Curley discusses that in his verified statement, his affidavit, and he says that the remedy The key remedy he focuses on is that if this property is subject to STB jurisdiction, the remedy, the only remedy in the statute and at the time that throughout this thing that was provided is that the sale is void. I mean, the statute was amended in 2010, but before that there was a statute. And that statute, the only remedy in that statute, was invalidation of the deed that would affect be the Conrail to LLC deed here. So we very much have an injury.
Anything else, Steve? Thank you.
Thank you, Your
Honor. Gentlemen, thank you very much. The case is submitted.